Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Acts chapter 22, verse 30, and we'll read through the end of chapter 23. So let us read together the Word of Almighty God. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now, when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near." So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, "Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you." Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside, and asked privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you." So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, "Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me." And he called for 2 centurions, saying, "Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, and provide mounts to set Paul on, and bring him safely to Felix the governor." He wrote a letter in the following manner, "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you, and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell." Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear you when your accusers have also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. As we look at this passage of God's Word, we see that Paul is used of God to present the gospel in Jerusalem again. And at that same time, we see that God directs that Paul is used to present the gospel not only in Jerusalem, but even to Rome, as we see God promise Paul in verse 11. And so as we look at this passage, we want to see three things. First of all, Paul's defense to the Sanhedrin indicts both parties, though only one really responds. In verses 11 through 22, we see that there is a plan to murder Paul, and that it is made known. And in verses 23 through 35, we see that God uses earthly, that is, unbelieving leaders, to protect Paul and to fulfill his will that Paul would witness in Rome. So first of all, we notice that Paul's defense to the Sanhedrin indicts both parties. And as we look at this, first of all, this commander, this Roman commander, is seeking the truth. This is somewhat odd in this story, considering that the Jews have already condemned Paul and are trying to kill him. We see that Paul's defense, that it indicts both parties. The commander is seeking the truth. He wanted to know for certain why Paul was accused by the Jews. He releases him and calls for the chief priests to come. And we have to understand something, that when people don't know the truth, when people don't know the Bible, people have all sorts of wild ideas. And when someone brings the truth, as Paul is doing here, then it is not welcome. And so the commander is seeking the truth, but the Jews are not seeking that. They're seeking Paul's head, essentially. And so the Sanhedrin, with the high priest in charge, sits over Paul's hearing. Paul speaks of Christian conscience. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day, he says. Conscience, not from a human perspective, but in living according to a renewed conscience. We have read previously that Paul said, I have stolen from no one, and so forth. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord, Paul says. And so the high priest commands that Paul be struck, and Paul objects, not knowing that this is the high priest. Now this is obviously not a well set up council. This must have been hastily brought. Yet even this is brought before the commander of the Roman, and so it's quite interesting. Paul's objection is on the grounds that this is illegal for him to be struck as an uncondemned Roman citizen, yet they are supposedly going to judge him on a legal basis. As we've already said, that is really already out the window here. Matthew 23:27, Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And Paul calls this man a whitewashed wall. Paul, having been told that this is the high priest, considers carefully what the scripture says about reviling the ruler of his people. Exodus 22, verse 28, you shall not revile God, nor curse the ruler of your people. We as Christians ought to take this heart to our hearts concerning our rulers today. We need to address the issues at hand, instead of, as is so common today, maligning people. And Paul divides the council then, seeing that there are Sadducees and Pharisees. He shows that both sides are wrong. Paul realizes that the council is divided in substance and pushes a wedge into that division. Paul sides with the Pharisees from a certain perspective. It says, concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I'm judged here today. Paul says, Philippians 3 verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, Pharisee. Yet in siding with the Pharisees, he demonstrates the problem of their position as well. The Sadducees were obviously wrong, being materialistic, not allowing for things that are spiritual. Yet the Pharisees were also wrong, because they say, well, if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, all right, go ahead. They're willing to believe any angel or spirit without, as John writes, testing the spirits. 1 John 4 verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so a great dissension arises, and Paul is again saved by the commander. We remember this in Acts 21:34. Again, we see here that Paul is extracted by the commander because the commander fears lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them. And so they plan to kill Paul, to murder him, to ambush him. We read that in verses 11 through 22. God promises Paul a witness in Rome. As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, this is why Paul was unperturbed by the prophecies of imprisonment and worse in Jerusalem as he went there, was a witness in this manner to the highest of the Jews. We've just been reading about that as well in chapter 22. So you must also bear witness to me in Rome. We have already noted of that those of Caesar's household hear the gospel through Paul, as Paul tells us in Philippians. Paul will be used to preach the gospel in Rome, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Some of the Jews here vow to kill Paul. They will not eat or drink until they have killed Paul. There's more than 40 people. This is a definite example of what the Bible calls a rash oath. And the chief priests, we read verse 14, are in on it too, to bring Paul to Jerusalem on the following day to ambush him on the way. And this plot then is revealed to Paul and to the commander. Paul's sister's son, first of all, wow, he's in Jerusalem at this time, hears of this and tells Paul, and then, at Paul's request, tells the commander, we read. And the commander requires the young man not to tell anyone that he has revealed these things, and the commander makes ready. God uses earthly, even unbelieving leaders to protect Paul and to fulfill the will that God has, that he has, concerning Paul's witness in Rome. And so the commander sets up an entourage for Paul. We read concerning 2 centurions, 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. Now this is not just any group of men, this is really a war party. We have to realize that. And so they're going around Paul. And this man who was to be killed by the Jews, they're going around him to keep him safe, to bring Paul at night, leaving at 9 p.m., the third hour of the night, to Felix the governor. And the commander writes to the governor, telling about the situation and just for good measure making himself look good. I saved Paul because I knew he was a Roman, when he himself had bound Paul and commanded that he be beaten. We read that in Acts 22:24. The commander tells of the failed attempt to get the truth out of the Jews and their problem with Paul. And the commander tells of the danger to Paul's life in spite of the fact that he could find nothing in him deserving of death or chains. And so Paul is brought to and held in Caesarea, actually a quite place which is quite familiar to him. We need to realize that Paul has been through Caesarea many times and has many friends as Christians there. And so they bring Paul to Caesarea as commanded by way of Antipatris, we read. The letter is delivered, and Felix is looking for a reasoned complaint from the Jews as well. We read verse 35, I will hear you when your accusers also have come. And so we have to understand something. This is what happens when religion is not based on the Bible. People believe all sorts of wild things, as I've already said. And when someone brings the truth, it's unwelcome. And even we read here that people are trying to kill Paul so that that message would not get out. We need that message. Everyone needs the message of the gospel. And that is what I hope you hear week by week on Start the Week. And that is our prayer. That is the reason that we are on the radio, is to spread the message of the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.